Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. J.D. Walt here with another Wake Up Call conversation. Delighted today to welcome Jess Grzeski. And she works at Reality Church.
Yes.
In San Francisco.
Yes.
And she's going to be joining us for our New Room conference, one of our teachers there. We're looking forward to that. So we're here just to have a wide-ranging, free-roving conversation about Jesus and friendship and anywhere else that he wants to lead us. But I thought maybe good to open up with, like, I know that you are from South Korea.
Yes.
But you have a name like Grzeski.
Yes.
Help us with that. Yeah.
Yes. The greatest conversation starter for most of my newer friends I've met. I was adopted when I was 3 months old to a family of Polish descent. And so it is a very much integrated part of my story, part of how I serve, how I pastor, of just creating connection and using my story really of kind of a springboard of how to get to know people. Usually it's a great topic of like starter conversations. But yeah, grew up in an adopted family and from the States. So yeah.
And you moved around quite a bit.
Yes.
This is a military family, right?
Yes. My family was in the military and we moved not overseas, but both coasts. I spent most of my formative childhood, adulthood on the East Coast. And then we moved back to the West Coast. And so really how I found myself to the Bay Area and now San Francisco is really because of family and wanted to be closer. And so had quite the range of experiences and lots of different church backgrounds and growing up in different parts of the church on different coasts, different parts of the Midwest as well. So a whole variety of experiences.
Yeah. And tell us about Reality Church.
Yes. Yeah, so Reality San Francisco, we are located in the Mission District of San Francisco, right in the heart of San Francisco. It's been a church that's been here in the city for the last 16 years, but I've been on staff and pastoring here for the last 13. And so I joined very new into the story, but have found my calling and vocation really come alive, serving and pastoring here in a city that is very unique, but one I didn't actually set out to move to or reside in or serve or fall in love with the people here. So it is definitely the like fodder for all of ministry and vocation for me.
Yeah. So tell us about your particular role there at the church.
Yes, I am the associate pastor. And so I really tell people I get to dabble in a lot of different kinds of life of the church. I just made a move recently from formation. And so really cared about spiritual formation for the longevity of discipleship for people in our church, living in a city like San Francisco. How are we formed in the way of Jesus in our particular context, which has a lot of challenges and a lot of interesting ways that Jesus does show up, and kind of helping people pastor their way through finding their way to Jesus. So,
yeah. Yeah. Well, so Jess, how about tell us just a little bit of your own story of how you became a follower of Jesus?
Yes, I would like to say it was with a lot of reluctance over the years. Like Jesus would always make himself known to me in my childhood. One of the main reasons why I knew about church and different forms of denominations was really moving around. It was a core place for community where we made friends. But I was just around Christians, but didn't actually understand or make the connection of what actually Jesus was doing until I went to university, which was in Florida. And I just felt like I hit a season of life where it was deep loneliness, deep expectation of what I thought my life would be like in my early 20s, and realized I was asking big questions like, what am I actually living for? I'm just working all the time. I kind of feel like I was doing this hamster wheel, as we call it, where you're like, you get a job, you get married, you have kids. None of those things happened in that order. And I was left with a ton of questions of like, who's God? I know God in my mind or like education or intellect, but I don't actually know God, who he is, or Jesus as a person in my everyday life. And so it was those questions in that time of life where you're like, nothing's going as expected, that actually my friends at the church help transform who Jesus was to me as a person. And so part of the reason why I care so much about friendship, along with all those questions, is these people changed my life. Community changed my life through their friendship and their care and the people in the local church there that did very practical life things, as friends would. Provide meals, have conversations, study the Bible, like have spiritual conversations. And so it was all the practicalities of being in those seasons of life that people were really embodied, like who Jesus was to me. And so they were the first persons I asked questions about God, about the Holy Spirit, about my gifts, about the future. They really were like a living embodiment of Jesus in scripture to me, before I even studied that, you know. I had an idea of what the Bible said, but I didn't actually make it applicable to my life because they actually helped me see it and make that connection. It was just such a mystery where I realized, I was like, wow, I do know things about Jesus, the story about Jesus, but until I actually experienced people doing the things that Jesus would do or talk about, didn't make it real to me.
Yes, you know? That's so rich. Jess, I'm always thinking about what is awakening? What is waking up? What does it really mean? And I've recently just kind of come to a sentence that it encapsulates so much of what I have learned over the years. I'm just going to say it to you. Mm-hmm. I say waking up is the transformational journey of love from Jesus to a person, through a person, to a person, through a person, and it keeps on going.
Yes.
And it's always transformational. It's always love. It's always Jesus. And it's personal. It's a person. It's not just this sort of spiritual numinous presence. I mean, doesn't it make sense that if God came as a person, this is how he wants to do it?
Yes. Yeah. I think even your thing about the comment of like love, but transformed for people in order. And so my transformation was a gift from them because of love, because of Christ. But then also my like, almost my response in worship should be, I also want to love other people. And so it's just like, I love that where you said it just keeps going and going and going. The invitation like never ends, which I think is ultimate. So much love there too that I was like, wow, that will take a lifetime to fulfill, you know, and to grasp too, where I'm so encouraged by that.
Well, yeah. I mean, the other thing I've been thinking about a lot is how with Jesus, reading the Gospels, it's always a person. It's a woman by a well. It's a man in a tree. It's a woman that they caught in adultery. I'm like, well, did you ever catch the guy? I mean, where's he? It's a man being lowered by his friends on a mat down. It's always it's a Pharisee who comes at night. It's all the way to the end. It's a man on a cross next to him.
Yes. Yes.
And he's always dealing with one person. And he's the busiest person in the universe.
Yes.
I don't know. I marvel at that. And I've come to say things like, Jesus doesn't love the world. I say, Jesus doesn't love people. Jesus loves a person. And he's doing it through us, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that just reminds me of, even in my own journey, the whole realization where you are like, Jesus actually really cares about me. He cares and loves me, the specifics about me. He enjoys being with me. And I'm so curious. I've been through so much of my life thinking that maybe Jesus kind of just tolerated me.
Yes.
Because he like had to love me, you know? But
yes.
No, when you really grasp from this love, that place of love you're describing, you're like, no, he intimately knows me, created me. He enjoys so much being with me as a person.
Yes.
Every part of me, you know, even when your stories of like the woman caught in adultery, even to the cross where the people beside him, he cares about every detail that we actually think he may not care about. But gosh, I feel so full of love when I'm like, no, he truly delights in me.
That's
incredible.
It is. Yeah. People have a hard time. They can believe it about somebody else.
Yes.
They have a hard time believing it about themselves. And we're here today to convince them of that.
Yeah.
You know, I remember one time I was ministering to the speakers of this event and I was praying for them all. I was just like, man, am I getting this right? And this prophet type guy comes up to me at the end and he asked me for the oil. He's going to pray for me. And I'm like,
wow.
He says to me, he says, I got a word for you. I'm like, oh no, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And he looks at me square in the eyes and he says, JD, Jesus wants you to know that he likes you.
Yes.
It's like, I never heard that before.
Yeah, you're like, how powerful. And even if someone hurts, like he just enjoys being with you in all of your flaws. I'm like, what? I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to show up in some way that's different or earning something. It's so beyond at least my frame of how I've operated
yes.
in the world.
Well,
you
we
know?
Think he loves us, but that's kind of like
yes.
you. He kind of has
got to love
right?
us. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like
yeah,
is another
how
thing.
Powerful. Yes.
And you know what? That's the real essence of friendship.
Yes. Yes.
That's friendship. Yes. You like, you love everybody kind of, but you really like your friends.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's Jesus. And, you know, we sing that song, what a friend I have in Jesus. And the other day I was thinking, I wonder if Jesus sings that song, what a friend I have in JD.
Yes, yes.
I'm like, that would be awesome.
It was. You know what? And he probably does because he just delights in being with you, you know, and being present. And he does do that to us. It's just one of those moments where you're like, I only want to operate from that kind of intimacy
yes.
with Jesus. Like, I should, man, how much more confident in the Lord would I be from this place of like knowing how much I'm loved and beloved in that spot. So,
yes. Well, yeah. I hope people that are listening or watching this right now, I'm just asking you, do you know
yeah.
how much Jesus Christ likes you? I want you to feel that.
Yes.
I want you to feel that. Jess wants you to understand this. And it's not something I had really thought about before that day.
Hmm.
It changed me. It broke me down.
Yes. Yes.
And I've not been the same ever since.
Hmm. Hmm.
And it sounds like you've had the same kind of experience in your life.
Yes. Like even what a powerful moment from your story of even your friend, even in this year, the whole thing of like interconnectedness, your friend was a friend to you that said, JD, Jesus loves being with you and a person, you know,
through,
and you're like,
oh through God. A person,
through a person,
through a person.
Yes.
Golly, this is what I'm trying to,
yes.
this is to me what sowing is. It's like he's coming into you. To you,
yes.
and then he's coming through you to someone else.
Yes, and through love. Like, and that you said
love.
It's the life-changing moment where people can look you in the eyes and actually say of Jesus, like putting Christ's eyes on, being like, he just enjoys and delights in who you are.
Who you are. Oh,
yeah.
That's hard for people to believe. People especially yeah. carrying shame, who think they're bad.
Yes.
He's like, no, Jesus, he's not mad at you. He's not shaming you.
Yeah. He's not disappointed in you. I think that's my biggest wall of like, Jesus either tolerated or I need to improve one thing about my life for Jesus to not be disappointed. Mm. And there is this level of like, what I think is striving, but you're like, no, that is so inaccurate the way that Jesus views me. And I'm trying and spending all this energy trying to make Jesus like me when I'm like, actually, he really doesn't just like me. He loves me. He created me. He wants more. And it's not about disappointment. I think, you hitting on the shame part and all the things that get in the way are just so difficult sometimes to be confronted with ourselves too.
So, you know, I think about, of course, there's a text that I know that you love and that I love. This has been like a life. I've been on this text for 25 years, John 15, 1 to 17.
Yes.
Okay, the whole thing. It teaches me constantly, but there's this place. It kind of, I mean, we could spend a couple of hours or days talking about the whole thing. But there's a point at which, you know, he says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you.
Yes.
Now abide in my love. And he's about to tell us how.
Yeah.
if you obey my commands, it's just like he's just systematic. He's just obey like my commands.
Yes.
You will abide in my love.
Yeah.
Just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and abide in his love. And you're like, okay, get the Ten Commandments out. Come on, let's bring them. No other gods, no murder, no adultery. I'm like, and he's like, this. Well, and then he says, I've told you this.
Yes.
That my joy may be in you.
Yeah.
And that your joy may be complete.
Mm-hmm.
Then this. Okay, what are the commands? This is my command. You know what it is?
Yes. Love. Yeah.
Love one another.
Yes.
As I have loved you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just sort of mind-blown emoji, greater love has no one than this, to lay down their life for who?
Friends.
Their friends.
Yes. They're friends, yeah.
And then he says, I no longer call you servants. Instead, I have called you friends.
Yes.
That's remarkable. Talk about friendship and discipleship and transformation and grace.
Yes.
What have you learned? What are you learning?
Yeah. I mean, I'm loving that you can read that passage for 25 years and there's something new to glean about Jesus and the language that he uses. And I just think that that's such a beautiful invitation for us to be reminded that we can come back over and over again. It will never expire. There will be something new for us to read in his word all the time about his character.
Jess, you know? I encourage people. I'm like, listen, you need to first off, just build you a tent on that text site. And then later you're going to come back and make a tiny house. And you're going to have to be, at the end, you're going to wish, man, I should have just built the dream home right here.
Yes, right there. Yeah.
And I'm just going to live here.
Yes.
That's texts, right? We just want to become their cathedrals of revelation.
Yes. I love that word, cathedrals, because you're like supposed to be in awe, which I also have been in this text for many years. And I think I'm always surprised at the language he uses. And sometimes it started my whole journey of like, why would he use the word friends? Why? And my general curiosity of my personality is more just like, I want to know why he used that. And why did he compare for servants to friends? But then there is that deeper invitation, more and more layers there that you're like, oh no, he has always wanted to call us friend. There's something deeper than just maybe my own skewed view of human friendship, the fleshly friendship kind of thing on earth. But he has such an eternal perspective of why he calls us his friends. It's such an intimate label and theology and like way of thinking that should inform it was life-changing for me of how it would inform the way that I would relate to other people in church, how I would relate to my brothers and sisters around the world. There in Christ, there is friendship, which is so much different than what I defined it as in my own life. And so it's been that whole journey of my discipleship, like actually saying, if I call my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ friends, how is that to look as a witness to other people, as a way of love? And there's just so many invitations just by that simple way of being with other people that is like, it's that whole kind of interconnected label thing that you had that was like, we're Jesus, but they're Jesus to us, but we're exhibiting Christ to other people. And I like being in the very meta philosophical world, so I could dream about that cathedral all day long. But it also is very practical too. Like, how am I to treat my friends and brothers and sisters in the family of God very differently through love in there too? So
what if Jess, you're the cathedral?
Yes, that is that invitation. I'm having one of those moments where you're like, Jesus loves you. Yeah, it's so expansive to discover with God. And our life with God is that cathedral. I think we're in awe.
100%. It's like, and you come up on somebody else. I think, yeah. I mean, obviously, the most obvious revelation that's still hidden from us about Jesus is that he is the new temple of God, his body.
Yes.
Yeah. Which the implication is our body.
Yes.
This is my body given for you. And so here we are as two people. We're the circles here. I'm holding up two circles. Temples.
Yeah.
And then we come together and there's that overlap.
Yes.
And he is, I have this friend. He taught me this greeting. He's an old man. He's in his 90s now, Maxie Dunham. And he says, the spirit of Jesus in me greets the spirit of Jesus in you and brings us together in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Beautiful. Yes. You're like union with Christ through friends.
That's friendship.
Yes.
That's holy friendship. And I don't know, Jess. I found a kindred spirit here in you, 100%. A friendship, it is itself a temple. It's a place. It's a cathedral moving about in the world where we invite Jesus to do things.
Yes. Yeah. Sometimes I've heard it described, or the way I've put it sometimes, is that it's this, instead of thinking that friendship is this like little capsule that holds thing or a cup, it's actually like a container. It could be like that cathedral where it holds in Jesus through his way of being, through people, places, and other embodied people. Like Jesus does a lot of things through this container of friendship, and that's how we're to operate. Yeah. And I love that you said, like, our embodied selves, our human fleshly selves, are the spirit or the temple, you know? And like, I think of Rome, it's like, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Our bodies are to be sacrifices of Jesus to one another as well in that spirit of love. And so there's so many deep, rich invitations that even for me, I'm like, wait a second. My showing up in person matters then. My impact matters to other humans. I'm not just some mind floating around, but when I show up with my neighbor, that is exhibiting Christ. He's flowing through us. His love flows through us in that way. And so I'm just always reminded that, like, even those small things matter and matter deeply to God, of how we show up in ourselves, with ourselves.
We
too.
Just exactly, we're present to each other in our body.
Yes.
And he's there in the midst of us.
Yes.
So talk to me about, like, tell me a story of a friend that's really meant a lot to you. And what is it about that friendship that's changed your life?
Yeah, I actually can think of, I actually have two friends that are in my discipleship band. And I had not, you know, I'm new to the discipleship band world. We've only been a band. Yeah, for 2 years. But that those friendships, life-changing, JD. Mostly because I feel like I am known instead of just being as a pastor or as a leader or as another fellow Christian brother and sister. Often we spend so much time getting to know other people, but they are equally mutually invested in knowing me with all my flaws, all the imperfections, and yet also in that embodied place, exhibit Christ to say, you don't have to be perfect. Christ sees you. He loves you. You know, confession, repentance, all these things that you're like, they are that embodied experience for me of what Jesus does for me. That has been such a life-changing way of being that I'm not sure how I operated in my friendships before, other than there was something missing in the way that I understood even Jesus, who he, how he views me. And so I feel like the simple knowing people, they tell you you belong, they show up to things physically in presence. We don't live in the same cities, but we try so hard to be together a couple times a year. It's so important, but there is not a more formative friendship that I can think of in the last few years than my two women in my discipleship band.
That is so great. I didn't know we talk about bands, but I mean, obviously we're all about that.
Yes.
Because, you know, one of the things that we've discovered about people is that all of us at some level in our life, we have this belief that if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me.
Yes.
And we find the opposite is actually true.
Yes.
The more that you are known, the more you are loved.
Yes.
And that's how God loves us. God knows us completely and loves us totally.
Yes. It's so scary. I mean, even for me, like over the vulnerability, I think you hit the like exact lie that I'm like, if you knew how horrible some of my thoughts are, and if anything, you have two physical humans representing God to say, you are forgiven.
Yeah, like, it's clean.
It's fine.
You're good.
And you're like, wait a second. That was not as hard as I thought it was. Why did I spend the majority of my life afraid of being seen, vulnerable in lots of different seasons? And so it's just been a beautiful invitation to be vulnerable in that way and be known.
You know, so, that word vulnerability, I learned this some time ago. It comes from the Latin word vulne, which means to show the wound.
Wow.
To show the wound.
Yes.
Powerful. I mean, only friends can do that.
Only friends can do that. Yeah. And I think even in that invitation of that, I love the wound language. I was talking with a friend recently too about part of like the Christian discipleship is to steward your wounds in a way that exhibits Christ. Like he brings the healing and that we are to come unashamed with him with all of the wound. And sometimes friends help you do wound care. They help you actually clean the wounds that you can't get to. And then you do that for them as well. And so it is very vulnerable because you're like, that hurts sometimes. It's painful. It's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. And you're understanding too, they're loving you. It's not really about protecting from pain altogether. They really want you to be well, you know?
That's how healing comes. You know that there's that great verse in the hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Yes.
It says, behold his hands, his side, those wounds yet visible above in beauty glorified.
Yes.
Those are scars.
Yes.
Right? Wounds, when healed, become scars.
Yes.
And I don't know. You know, we're on to what is really, I consider it the wicked problem of our time, which I believe is mental illness. It's the wicked challenge of our time.
Yes.
And this most mental illness is born of isolation, disconnection.
Yes. Yes.
Gosh, it's so painful to think about the people who are lonely and who are without friends.
Yes.
And this is why I believe banding and banded discipleship is like the cure to cancer. I believe it holds the cure to so much mental illness.
Yes. Yes.
Because people can be known and loved.
Yes. Yeah. Or an avenue that is healthy in order to share, like being known and belonging. I think that's part of the loneliness part too. I think when people feel like they have to go through things by themselves, or for some reason they feel a lie that they need to figure it out by themselves. I know for me, I've thought that a lot, where I thought I'd have to figure everything out first before I brought even some formative thought to my friends. And even then, it would have to not be really vulnerable. It would just be surface level enough to say, this is really hard for me. But I was like, rather I could be completely honest and say, I'm heartbroken. I don't know what to do. And having people receive that in a way of like the healthy friendship to say, you're not alone. You don't have to do that by yourself either. Your faith of your friends can help you. I feel like, like you said in that verse where your friends are the story where the friends are lowering their friend down and by their faith, I call it like ripping off roofs for your friends, by their faith, they are also helping this person.
Jesus,
get to Jesus.
It says when he saw their faith.
Yes, their faith, the friendship of the friends and the faith and love of the friends. So it's a beautiful relationship that I feel like I just have missed out on so much too. And I'm just learning and receiving too, which is part of that thing for my friends, is for me to learn how to receive their love too.
Well, talk a little bit more about this banding and like talk about how that has activated friendship for you at another level.
Oh, yeah. I think the freedom and healing I experience in a way that they can exhibit Christ to me, it's like regenerative. So therefore, at the very beginning, your framework where you're like, but it's love through people, for people, through Jesus, for me to in order to love other people. It's helped create almost space, capacity, healing in my heart and my life to actually view others in a very different way. And allows me to say, oh my gosh, if it's possible for me, which I thought at one point, maybe I couldn't be known or something was blocking from being known. But no, these people see me. They see my wounds. They help me steward them. They see the scars. That's a witness to Christ. I can actually tell and invite other people into other opportunities like that. So it's literally telling you're like witnessing and testifying to what God did. And it's meant to encourage the body in general. So every moment I can, I'm like, no, my friends have changed my life through Jesus. More people can do that. It's so easy, and to be fair, some of that stuff, how they have to get through, it's a process. The discipleship journey is a process.
It is.
And you have to confront those fears too, but you have the invitation to do that with other people, not alone. And that's the greatest part that I think was so life-changing for me, was that I felt so alone sometimes. And I found people, it's like they say that moment you meet friends, it's like, you too. You and me as well.
Me too.
We're together in that. And so there's some camaraderie and felt like joy and love and being known in that way. And so it's less lonely for sure.
Yeah. One of the reasons why we kind of stumbled on banding and adapted the model was because we discovered that most people, including ourselves, are a little bit stuck in our transformational journey. Right? We keep circling same sins. We keep bumping into the same struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And we came to this conclusion that many, if not most of us, get stuck in our journey because we don't have the kind of relationships it takes to sustain real transformation.
Mm.
And so we thought, well, how can we foster and foment these kind of relationships? And we just worked into those five questions.
Yes. Yes.
And, yeah. And it's like, and the guidelines, right? To say we're not counseling each other. This is not a therapy, group therapy. Group therapy is great. That's not what this is. This we're not solving each other's problems or giving advice.
Yeah.
We're holding space for each other.
Yes. Yeah.
Which doesn't exist in the world.
No. And especially humans, like human to humans, I feel like, at least in my context, a lot of people try to do that via digital world or even through AI. And you're like, wait, Jesus created us to be humans together. And it's taught me so much about what it means to give and to receive love from Jesus as well as one another. At the same time,
and
it's beautiful mystery. Yeah, beautiful love, and feeling like, wow, I have a new way of operating, and I am so grateful to Jesus to do that because there's so many other people that I'm like, oh man, the excitement where you're like, if they only knew the way that they don't have to operate in a way that is performative, I'm like, transformative for sure.
That's put.
Yes. And I love how you put too, where you're like, there were things that we will circle around, or maybe, you know, you get stuck. That group, this discipleship group for me, these women have been so transformative in helping me get unstuck.
And you didn't even know how it happened. They didn't tell you something.
No, they just ask questions. And it is me giving feedback and receiving their love that helped in Jesus's way of doing that. And I was like, I really had a moment where I was like, how did that happen over the last year?
Just
like, we just show up giving and receiving. Yeah.
This is what makes it a true means of grace. It's not a functional technology. It's a transcendent practice.
Yes.
That it works in the working of it. And you know, the other thing about it is I would say that friendship in this way, it is both the means and the end. It's the goal and it's the way that you get there.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean,
you have another goal.
Yes. No, no. And I think that's what makes it so beautiful, because you said it is like that cathedral. I feel like when I think of cathedrals, I think of the imagination, the way that God calls us friends, but can use friendship to transform not just ourselves or our friends, but even more things in our world and in the kingdom. I'm just like, this is a brilliant, beautiful plan that God's invited us to be part of. And part of that journey is having your friends also help you discern how to do that and what to contribute and how to show up as a human in the world, as a sacrifice, as, you know, as a living embodied person to like reflect Jesus too.
You know, and what I'm hearing in you, Jess, also, we all feel like my social battery's like limited and I'm running low on capacity for more people. But what I sense you're saying to me is that this kind of friendship and this process of banding has actually seemed to give me extraordinarily more capacity for people.
Yes, yes. And I can testify as a true introvert, Janie, I definitely have said, I am peopled out, guys. Wow. But I will say the beauty and gift of Christ is he creates the capacity and that grace to be able to give and receive to serve people, you know? Exactly. And I would say one of the biggest lies I had to get over and like the wrong way of thinking was I have like so much energy and somehow it'll just tap out with Jesus. And he'll be like, no more friends. You don't need any more of that. But in his beauty, he's just said, I'm going to give you grace and love for people that I want you to minister to and serve. The aim is friendship in Christ. It's not just for myself to feel good or to be known. It's actually meant to help more people and serve more people, no matter our age or season of life or status of anything. It transcends all of that, like you said.
Because it's him.
It is him. Yes.
It's his presence.
Yeah.
That I've witnessed this, that man, that Maxie, that man that gave me that greeting.
Yes.
I, It's the first person I met. I'm like, how does he have so much capacity for people?
Yes. And he's probably so present too.
Yes.
It's like, yeah.
I felt it because I was convicted by my lack of capacity because I was just operating out of another place than this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'd have to say it's my own band that has liberated me. Jesus has used that little circle to liberate me from myself.
Mm.
And I no longer live in a scarcity mentality with other people.
Yes. Yes.
Because this is one of our little early definitions. Our whole goal was to become the love of God for one another and the world.
Yes.
And we discovered the truth that if we can actually become the love of God for another person, we've become it for the world.
Yes.
It's there.
Yes.
And I'm different everywhere I am because of that.
Yes. Yeah. I love that you said too, like operating in that mind of scarcity. That is so crazy because I also used to struggle with that. Not that I still do, but there's times that he's shifted that paradigm when I know Christ to know, one, we live a life of abundance in Christ. Like that well of intimacy with him will never run dry. And so I always have to remind myself, like, Lord, please give me grace. Please remind me of the abundance of life that you've given me. My band will remind me of that where how I operate out of the intimacy with Christ. It is not by anything that I do or perform. And then it helps me be more generous in a way that is just showing up that I'm like, gosh, from that place of love, I can offer the best thing I can offer is myself, who I am in my body, as generous as I can.
Present.
What I have for the day. Like, and that's it. Yeah.
That's so free. And you said it earlier, this is not performative.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
I'm not sitting here trying to, I don't know, use a set of skills, or I'm not trying to be the solution. I'm showing up attuned to you, to Jesus and you.
Yes.
So what do you have any sort of famous friendships that you love to think about? Like maybe they're in the movies or maybe they're in real life. Like when you look at those, you're like, man, that's a friendship.
Man, I was like in the movies. I was like, I haven't been to the movies in a long time.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. You know what? The ones I always admire though are ones that are ones I read about, ones I witness in my local church here are ones that are the intergenerational ones, mostly from the longing I had when I was young, 18. I'm in my 40s now, but like the ones that were mutual, that they just seemed to enjoy being present with one another. And they weren't necessarily biological family. They were just like a chosen family in the church and really had their own kinds of friendships. I think of a couple of sets of friends here in our church. In the context of San Francisco, we are very much a very singular age group. We don't have many younger or elders. We have a lot of middles in that. And I think we long for that intergenerational friendship. And so whenever I'm looking for people who are younger or older from my demographic, I'm always like, can we please be friends? Because there's so much that I think that we can learn from one another and that we can offer one another and what God's doing in all of our seasons and our lives, just from our backgrounds. And those are more ones that I'm just always looking to like, learn from and see like what helps them tick. Or even when I hear about other bands from now in this like larger world of banding, those intergenerational ones that I'm like, this is so fascinating to me.
Yeah.
I think, I know that's just a personal longing
in the
church. Yeah. So
that's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing about a friendship too, I think about like movies and I'm like Frodo and Sam.
Yes. Oh yes.
Okay.
Loyal. Yes.
I think about like Napoleon and Pedro.
Yes.
The Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes.
And I'm like, the real question, the beautiful thing about these kind of friendships is there's no hero. They keep hiding in one another.
Yes.
And there's like, well, who was the hero? Was it Frodo or Sam?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It breaks down that kind of paradigm.
Yes. Yeah. There's a mutual love for those relationships that they're almost trying to one up each other, but for the sake of the other person.
Yes. Like,
I want you to succeed. No, I want you to succeed.
And isn't this what Jesus, I believe, means when he says greater love?
Yes.
Has no one than this to lay down their life for their friends. And of course, you know, it's easy just to think of that in a martyrdom context, but that's a huge spectrum to lay down your life. It's a lifelong journey.
Yes.
It's to prefer the other. It's to defer to the other.
Yes.
Lift up the other.
Yeah. And service. It's costly. It's like hidden. It's that hidden costly life where you're like, I'm going to do this because I love this person. I will the good for this other person to succeed or to flourish. And you know, I have a friend that the husband and wife will say, your win is my win. It is the ultimate thing where you're like, your win is my win. So I prefer to serve you so that you would flourish above
me. This is what marriages need.
Yes.
They need to become better friends.
Yes. Yes.
Well, you've really brought a lot of wisdom here today. You've encouraged me. I feel like we're friends now.
We are. Yeah. And we'll get to be real life friends at New Room. So,
see you at New Room. Have you written on this?
I have not. It is a budding aspiration to potentially write some more things on it, but it is like a life message for me in the way that I want to do friendship in the kingdom of God. So,
yeah. Well, everybody, we're going to put some links to, we're going to link to Reality Church so they can see that. And so if you're out in San Francisco looking for a church, we got one for you.
Yes.
We're going to link to our Banded Discipleship. That's discipleshipbands.com. All our stuff's there for free. And it's so simple, you won't believe it, but it'll change your life beyond your imagining. So thank you so much, Jess, for the time today and this conversation. And you're such a winsome witness. And it's great to know you now. And yeah, everybody out there, thank you for joining us. Mm-hmm. And as I always like to say, we'll see you on the field.